Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:09 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today is February 22nd. Well, I thought that today would start off with a look at the VIX because it offers us a pretty good picture of how people are thinking about the markets. Because we had that surge in volatility at the beginning of February, then it's come right back to test the upper side of the underlying range. That period of incredibly inert volatility that persisted all the way through 2017 is in all likelihood over, and that we can probably anticipate that we're going to have a more volatile period for the foreseeable future, and that it is extraordinarily unlikely that we're going to see volatility levels go back down to those sub-10 levels and persist there for the foreseeable future. Anything, and I suspect that when we think about it in those terms, it could be years before we see volatility back below 10 on anything more than an intraday basis. Well, when we look at this on a weekly basis, then we can put into context just how much of a move we've had. So 50 on the VIX has been an area of support for the stock market on multiple occasions since 2010. We have to go all the way back to 2008 before, to really find a time when the volatility measure went above 50 for anything other than an extremely brief period. Nonetheless, back in 2011 and indeed in 2010, we did have periods where levels higher than 20 were sustained for a while, and actually above 30 for a while. So that would suggest that we are in for a somewhat more volatile period. And because of the way that the VIX is calculated, because it's an average of prices, then that tells us that it is very sensitive now to what happens in the stock market. And what was happening on Wall Street today, I think that is a picture of what's going on in volatility as well. That the S&P was rallying for the vast majority of the day, and in fact closed out the day up on the, very modestly, but we can see that there has been difficulty in holding intraday rallies for the last four sessions. Part of the reason for that is because we had such an impressive rebound, and what we've seen now is that a short-term oversold condition is rapidly being replaced by a short-term overbought condition. It's not quite as overbought as it was 4 days ago, but nonetheless, we've had a very impressive bounce. Now, the question is, how much of this bounce is it going to hold over the course of the next few sessions? Because I continue to think that the most likely scenario is we're going to have some ranging. Well, when we look at what's going on in Europe, the vast majority of indices were in negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. So, for example, the FTSE was down about 0.4%, and the DAX was relatively unchanged. But when, for example, we look at the FTSE's performance, then it was well off its lows. And the relative strength of the mining sector is contributing to that, and also the fact that oil prices were up by about a dollar. They didn't quite finish up a dollar, but this continues to be a rebound from that $60 area. Now, when we look at the medium-term trend for oil prices, then $60 was an area of resistance previously. It's now an area of support, and it coincides with the region of the trend mean. So this is a natural area where we could anticipate we might get some steadying. $70 is still a level over which oil prices are probably going to have some difficulty rallying, not least because so much additional supply becomes economic at those areas. So that doesn't mean, of course, that it can't go above those levels, and particularly if we're in a period of synchronized global economic expansion and also in a period where Saudi Arabia is looking at trying to boost prices ahead of the IPO and trying to convince Russia that their interests are aligned and that perhaps Russia should join OPEC. So those sorts of factors are helping to contribute to a somewhat steadier environment for oil prices. So when we look at the outlook for markets that are tied to either the commodity complex or the oil complex, well, then for example, if we look at Russia, the Russian MICEX index was at a new all-time high in here today, and that's a ruble denominated index. If we look at a dollar denominated index, well, we get a better picture of exactly how much the market had deteriorated from the peaks back in 2011, and the subsequent recovery with the bounce in both commodity and in energy prices. If then we look at, for example, the performance of Brazil, which is another major commodity producer, we have a high degree of commonality between Brazil and Russia, and of course they both share the fact that there has been deterioration of governance, and that when you have a massive bull market in any particular country, it tends to paper over a lot of cracks. It is only when you get the bubble bursting that that starts to put pressure on the corrupt officials. It tends to put pressure on the banking sector, on credit, on high leverage, and it is wherever the most egregious examples of deteriorating governance were evident that comes under pressure most. And in Brazil, that has been within the political class. In Russia, well, they have been engaging in adventurism overseas to try and paper over some of the cracks at home. But interestingly, the stock market indices have a high degree of commonality. But then, when we look at the South African market or the ETF, it's not that different from the Johannesburg All Share, which has broken up out of a lengthy range, and the ETF is coming back up towards the upper side of a lengthy range. But they're not totally dissimilar, which is, I think, a testament to the fact that we do have some evidence, at least, of an improvement in governance in South Africa just recently. And it has been on the cards that Zuma would be ousted at some point, and just simply over the last couple of weeks, we've seen that process accelerate. Then in Argentina, well, the Argentinian ETF is reasonably similar to the performance of the Merval Index, particularly since 2016, when you had the revaluation of the currency. So that has, I think, created an environment where the ETF can, in fact, track the performance of the stock market. And Macri is doing what he can to improve governance in Argentina. So that is a distinct change from the rather dire set of circumstances that were in existence during the previous regime. So we can see graphic illustrations of where improving standards of governance are contributing to a much more impressive performance for some of these emerging markets. Well, it's not simply the emerging markets, but that when, for example, we look at the FTSE 350 Mining Index or the ASX 300 Resources Index in Australia, then we're presented with the similar chart patterns to either the Brazilian market or the Russian market, that they had trended lower in a consistent manner until the beginning of 2016, and now they are trending higher, and the ASX 300 Resources does look like it's in a period of mean reversion right now, but this continues to look like a medium-term advance. Well, the Chinese market is open again after the New Year holiday, and it has bounced and is beginning to unwind the short-term oversold condition. Of course, it closed almost immediately after the pullback that we saw on Wall Street, and now we're seeing a rapid unwinding of that short-term oversold condition. And the banking sector, which had come right back to the region of the trend mean, has also bounced, and that is, I think, it's certainly a point in its favor. Then, when we look at Hong Kong, it's been open for the last few days, and it has also bounced from the region of the trend mean. But when we look at just how overextended it was and how impressive the advance has been, then I don't think it's unreasonable to suspect that we're going to have at least some pause of consolidation. Then, when we look at the kinds of shares that have been helping to drive it higher, such as Tencent, well, then Tencent was in negative territory in here today following last week's rather impressive bounce. And Yes, it is certainly still holding the progression of higher reaction lows, but that would also suggest that 400 is now an important level. And as long as it is holding that level, and probably best case scenario is that it ranges above it in a period for that would allow the moving average to catch up with the price, then that would at least help to sustain the argument that we're still in a consistent advance. Then when we look at, for example, some of the education shares in China, which have also been trending higher in a very rapid manner for the last few years, then TAL Education was at a new high in here today, and doing so on following through on last week's really rather impressive upward dynamic. The fact is that it didn't pull back very much, that it seems to be marching to its own tune, and it remains a high growth company. So it isn't simply that the whole story is about Tencent, but rather that China does have a significant technology sector that is appealing rather directly to the online market that has evolved over the last few years, and that continues to represent a growth trajectory overall. Well, then when we look at, for example, Amazon, the fact that it was all the way up to $1,500 yesterday, well, this is a natural area where we can just anticipate that there's going to be a pause, considering that 1,500 is such a big psychological level and that it pulled back violently from its first look at that level back at the beginning of the month. And as long as that's all it's doing and just consolidating, then probably people aren't going to be all that worried about it. Then, for example, when we look at Tesla, it has bounced from the region of $300 once more and continues to hold the region of the trend mean. So, this being a highly leveraged company, the fact that it is at least steady would suggest that despite the fact that volatility is still at elevated levels, that the potential is that this continues to represent a medium-term pause in market rather than a significant top. And I reviewed a large number of the of what I consider to be lead indicators in the comment of the day yesterday, and the clear message is that they are not that it what they're mostly signaling is that we're in a mature phase of the market, but that none of the lead indicators are signaling that we're at the end of this medium-term advance, and that is rather encouraging. Well, gold prices were a little bit firmer in here today, and but they do need to push back and push on to new recovery highs to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. What I find interesting is that some of the gold shares continue to make new lows. That's despite the fact, for example, that Barrick today said that their all-in costs are less than $900, and yet the share price continues to deteriorate. I think that that is a testament to the fact that people are just not interested in the gold mining sector until we see some substantive action in the gold price to really start to get people to reevaluate what represents value in the mining sector. Now, when we look at the currency markets, I think that some of the action we're seeing in the yen is noteworthy because the dollar failed at 108, and that represents the lower side of the overhead trading range. Now it really does need to sustain a move above 108 to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, and so far there's not a great deal of evidence to support that. Well, the relative strength of the yen is going to act as something of a bit of a headwind for the Nikkei. So we could have some additional ranging around this 22 to 21,000 level, and not least because it approximates the region of the trend mean. But this has also been a pretty significant pullback, so we could have some additional ranging in order to rebuild support. The second section index was pretty much inert in here today, so that continues to also look like a consolidation following what was a somewhat larger pullback than we've seen since at least April. Well, I continue to think that Japan is where some of the first signs of an inflationary bias are likely to come back, but also that it is the country and the market that is most likely to react in a positive manner to a return to an inflationary bias, and the banking sector would certainly benefit from that, but it continues to pause here in the region of the trend mean over the short term. Then, when we look at India, it is also coming back towards the region of the trend mean, but it has been reasonably steady over the course of the last few days, so there's not a great deal to report in there. When we think about where we are in terms of this bigger picture, we are in a corrective phase, and for Wall Street in particular, and the Wall Street leash effect is, I think, more important now than it has been for years, because Wall Street has played such a pivotal role in leading the market higher. If Wall Street is consolidating, then that is going to contribute to a pause in just about everywhere else as well. It is the cyclical sectors that tend to do best in the latter stages of a bull market, and we're seeing evidence that it is the commodity producers, in both in terms of countries and miners, that and indeed drillers, that are doing reasonably well, and also the banking sector, and selectively within the biotechnology sector. Within the biotechnology sector, it's certainly the immuno-oncologies, smaller companies that are tending to continue to outperform in this environment, and not least because they're ushering in a real era of personalized medicine, and that is a significant technological development that is occurring largely independently of the financial cycle. I think that is an increasingly important medium to longer term consideration, that with personalized medicine, we really do have the potential for productivity gains well beyond what I think is being considered by the majority in academic circles, or in economic circles for that matter. I think with that, I think that covers the majority of markets, and I will leave. I wish all the best to all of you.